I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about staying calm under pressure. This time of year, we're in August and it's hot. It's a time of the year where you may be experiencing some increased pressure in your life. Now, first, I want to say if you're experiencing some increased pressure, that may mean you're on track. God often uses pressure as a way to mature us, to grow us, to teach us to learn to roll those pressures onto him so that his grace flows even more and it just accelerates us to the next level faster. Think of it this way. The pressure in all sports is at the end of the game. As the game is getting close to the end, the pressure begins to increase. Same thing happens in a season, the playoffs at the end of the season. The pressure increases the closer you get to the end of the season. So if you're experiencing some pressure, that might be a clue you're getting ready to transition into some new things. So we can begin to view it in a good perspective. But one of the keys is learning to handle this pressure correctly, learning how to stay calm under pressure. And we're going to be actually taking communion today, just asking for God's help, believing we receive his help to help us to stay calm and to stay poised under pressure so that we respond to it in a beautiful way. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that is mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get our hearts and our minds and our emotions positioned in the light, and then to begin to magnify that light on the inside of us, making sure we're in a good place of peace and joy, forgiveness is flowing. Then we go about planning our upcoming day with God, and it's about doing the things that we know to do, executing those things, trusting that God's with us and doing them cheerfully and joyfully with a good attitude. And then we take a couple minutes to get still and to listen for God's voice, because he's trying to lead us to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. But it's his voice that leads us along that path. Let's get started with the prayer, and then we'll get into the other half of prayer after that. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, and you made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today, this day, what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So our first step is to get started with the other half of prayer, is to get positioned in the light. God has released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. And that happens through the forgiveness of sins. So the first thing we got to do is we got to get this forgiveness flowing. It's got to flow from flow through three levels: receiving it from God, giving that grace and forgiveness to ourselves, and then letting it flow through us to other people. So the first area, any areas that you just feel like you've missed it, you can bring those to God. You've missed the mark, you can bring them to God. and you'll always be met with grace and forgiveness when you just run to him rather than away from him. And then we've got to let that grace and forgiveness flow through us. So any ways that you've been beating yourself up, condemning yourself, feeling like you haven't lived up to your own expectations, condemning yourself, give yourself that same grace that God has given you. Often we block the flow of what God wants to do in our lives because we put too much pressure on ourselves. Actually, we're going to see one of the keys to staying calm when the pressure comes on us is to learn to give that same grace to ourselves. And then we got to walk in that same level of grace and forgiveness with other people, which means we got to release some things. We got to release some things from ourselves. We got to release some things that other people have done. Stop hanging on to them. Stop hanging on to grudges. Just let some things go. That brings us into the light. If we're going to walk in the light, that forgiveness has to be flowing through those three levels. And then we got to begin to magnify that light. How do we do that? We begin to focus on that. We begin to focus on God rather than the darkness, rather than what's going wrong, rather than the evil in the world. We begin to magnify that light. How can we do that? We can do that through gratitude. Just taking a second here to think back over the last 24 hours. What are some things that you are grateful for? And you can write them down. You can speak them. There's something very powerful that happens when you not only think it, but it actually comes out of your body, whether that's writing or speaking or whatever it may be. And then taking a second to think about, what were your wins over the last 24 hours? What went well? Often we focus on what went wrong. Over the last 24 hours, what steps forward did you take? What ways did you see God coming through? What progress did you make? Look how far you've come. Often we get focused on how far we have to go, and that becomes discouraging and overwhelming sometimes. But if you draw some encouragement from how far you've already come, how far God has already brought you, we can begin to magnify that light on the inside of us, and it begins to grow brighter and brighter and more concentrated. And eventually that concentrated light can turn into a fire on the inside of you where it just makes you zealous and you have this desire, this urging, this compelling on the inside to just want to do good, to want to do the right things. And that's where we're trying to get to. And then how is your emotional state over the last 24 hours? I like to think of emotions as my feedback system, letting me know what I'm focused on, letting me know what I'm magnifying in my mind, in my heart, in my imagination, what are the things that I'm focused on and magnifying in my life, my emotions will tell me. And for example, staying calm under pressure is going to let me know what I'm magnifying in my life rather than reacting and freaking out and going crazy and all these types of things. Staying calm under pressure lets me know a lot of times what I'm magnifying. But I like to think of peace and joy as some of my greatest indicators that I'm single-minded in my focus and magnifying God rather than magnifying the problems. When I begin to meditate on the problem, I begin to magnify the problem on the inside of me, that problem grows bigger and it steals our peace and our joy and all these types of things. But when I begin to magnify God, how much he loves me, what he's done on the inside of me, that nothing is impossible with him, that he can make all grace abound to me. It's having all sufficiency at all times and in all things I can abound to every good work. When I begin to magnify that on the inside, that begins to grow bigger. And now these problems begin to diminish in size compared to what God can do through me. And that's the keys to peace and joy. And I like to think of joy as my indicator of presence, that I'm living in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence with me. And an amazing thing happens when we get more present and we have that joy flowing. All of a sudden it turns the tables and all these amazing gifts and goodness that God put on the inside of us begin to flow out of us. It's like the tables turn and the things just begin to flood out of us when we're in joy. Joy is my indicator that God's grace is flowing in my life, is what I like to think of. And then, what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, what things do you know to do? If we were to make a quick plan, what are some things that you know need to get done? Like, oh, you know I need to do that. I've been putting it off. I've been procrastinating. I know I need to do that. Or I've been getting that nudge from God to do this or to do that, to reach out to this person. I've been getting that nudge, but I haven't done it yet. Just begin to make a list of those things. And then is there anything God is prompting or stirring or nudging you to do on the inside that's maybe a bigger thing, something you really want to do, that you're excited, you're motivated, you desire to do it? But maybe it looks big or overwhelming because all those things that God is prompting require faith and courage because you're going to be doing them in partnership with him. You were never meant to do them on your own. That's why they look big and scary. It requires having that faith and trust that he's going to help you with these things. So how can you just take the first step in those things today? And then it's about executing them the right way. Go about your day, executing your plan. Whatever you put on your list, execute that plan and do it with a good attitude. Do it with peace and joy and cheerfulness and confidence in God and staying calm even in the face of pressure. Handling it with poise and beauty and grace, even when there's pressure on you. Because you're trusting. Why? Because I'm trusting in God. I'm rolling my problems onto him and I'm magnifying him on the inside of me. And then if you were to take a second to reflect back over the last day and you just ask this very simple question, God, what is it you were trying to teach me or to show me over the last 24 hours? And if you need to pause the recording, you can, but just taking a few minutes to just get still and to listen. I like to do this every night before bed and kind of recap the day. What was God showing me today? What was he teaching me today? And often it comes in two ways, adjustments and corrections in what I'm currently doing, and then new things that he's teaching me, new vision and direction that he's giving me for my life. And remember, it's his voice that leads us. Job chapter 36, 16, from the jaws of distress to a spacious, beautiful place, free from all restriction and your table laden with choice food. But it's his voice that leads us along that path. John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Just taking a second to get still and to listen. Whatever you hear, just begin to write it down. One of the keys to this whole process is beginning to record your journey. Recently, as we were talking with our partners on one of our live partner Zoom trainings, we all came to the conclusion that one of the greatest keys, God wants to take us on this path to greatness, where we magnify his name, we make his name great, and we make the other people around us great as well. I believe that's our indicator, letting us know that our lives are on track. God takes us on this path to make us fruitful, to multiply us and increase us greatly so that we make a lot of other people great. And one of the biggest things that I've learned that can help you with that process is simply recording your journey. Just recording the things that you're learning, recording the things that God's taking you through, recording the ways that God is showing up in your life. Just recording that journey. And it's going to help you to package that and be able to teach that to other people one day, to share your testimony in a much more amplified and better way. One of the most important things. So we're in this time of year where you might be experiencing some heat. You might be experiencing some pressure. And one of the most important keys to handling pressure well is to stay calm. Staying calm under pressure. You've seen the example of people who are not calm under pressure. And I don't know if that's you. I've had times myself where I've been not calm under pressure, but this is something I've seen that God has been working in me, where I'm growing better and better at staying calm under higher levels of pressure. And we want to grow in this. So this is going to be reading an excerpt from my book, The Pockets of Prosperity. Pockets of Prosperity has all of the practical blueprints that we use in the Abundant Life Blueprint for finances, for family, for order, for health, for time, for purpose, and community. And this is coming out of the Time Blueprint. I want you to think about this. Time is often the biggest source of pressure in our lives. We get a crammed and packed schedule. It's like we're hurried and we're frantic, going from one thing to the next throughout the day. Time is often the biggest source of pressure, and time and pressure are very related. And so one of the things you can do just to take the pressure off of yourself a little bit is create some more spacing in your day. Give yourself the gift of extended time. Give yourself the grace of extended time. Schedule things a little further apart. Make it so you're not so jam-packed throughout the day whenever possible. Sometimes you can't avoid it, but whenever possible, give yourself longer than you think you need. Same goes with deadlines. Set deadlines out in the future longer than you think you need them to be. Give yourself that grace of extended time. But then in the blueprint here, every area of life has what we call a table turner. A table turner is something that turns the tables, that makes life so much easier. It's simple, it's elegant, makes life so much easier. And this is a very counterintuitive one. But the table turner in the area of our time, which also has to do with pressure, is rest. The table turner in the area of our time and also in the area of pressure, is learning to rest, especially mental rest, rest in our soul. When we stay calm under pressure, pressure actually becomes a gift, helps us to squeeze out more faster and shoots us and accelerates us to the next level faster. But the problem is when we get frantic and disordered and we snap under pressure, it steals our time. Just adds to the pressure even more. And this pressure builds up in our minds because of these tight deadlines and tight time frames a lot of times. So I'm going to read this from the Pockets of Prosperity. So it says, this may sound counterintuitive, but the table turner for our time is rest. Being at rest, especially mentally, is the biggest key to being in control of our time. Being too busy, worried, or frantic actually steals your time. The thing that puts you in control of your time and helps you handle pressure better is being at rest. Here's some biblical passages on rest. Matthew 11:28, come to me and I will give you rest. Hebrews 4:9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Psalms 23:1-2, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Notice, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Being at rest, especially mentally, makes us efficient in our time. Worry, anxiety, stress, and always being in a hurry causes us to lose time and be out of control. The one thing that matters in your time and handling pressure is being at rest, especially in your mind. And the biggest key to resting is learning to take that pressure off of yourself and to give yourself that same grace God is giving you and to rely on God flowing through you. So roll the pressure onto God. These pressures in life are meant to teach us to roll them over to God. Those pressures were not meant for us. We're not meant to handle them. We're supposed to roll them over to him. We're supposed to rely on God flowing through us rather than our own abilities. Think about that. That actually is a form of pride, thinking that I can handle it in my own strength. When we learn to get out of the way, we can rest in our soul, which allows God to go to work. Resting also means getting your sleep and taking time to be still and listen for God and being mentally at rest. So now we're going to get into an interesting story about staying calm and relaxed and how it actually makes you faster and more productive. So I once read a story about a college track coach who would do an experiment with his new sprinters every year. At the start of every year, he would tell them that they were going to run a race and their times would allow them to know where all of these sprinters ranked on the team. They would all run as fast as they could and the coach would record their times. Then he would tell them to all run a cool down sprint. So just a nice, smooth, cool down sprint. And he would tell them to focus on running very relaxed. They would all run again, and every single sprinter would beat their previous time. They would actually run faster when they were relaxed. Then he would have them run another cool down sprint, and he would tell them to be even more relaxed. And they would all beat their times again. So think about this. The first sprint, they're all running as hard as they can. They're frantic. They're running. They're trying to struggle, get the best time they can. He records their times. Then he says, all right, the pressure's off. Let's run a cool down sprint to stay nice and smooth and relaxed and calm. He would often tell them to keep their jaw relaxed is something he would tell them. And they would all run and they would all beat their previous time. Then they would do it again and they would run even faster. So the table turner for time is resting. This seems backwards to us because the world has taught us to hustle, grind, and try as hard as we can. But almost any athlete, and I played baseball at a fairly high level, but almost any athlete can tell you that more power and better results are produced when the body is relaxed. As legendary basketball coach John Wooden used to always tell his players, be quick, but don't hurry. Be quick, but don't hurry. So it's this simple state when the pressure's on and we get frantic and we get hurried, actually makes us slower. Actually makes us less efficient, less productive, and actually just builds even more pressure on us. That pressure builds on the inside. When we can learn to stay relaxed and calm under pressure and poised under pressure, it becomes this beautiful thing where the pressure actually becomes a good thing. And we can stay calm and relaxed, and the pressure will just accelerate us to the next level faster. So we're going to take a communion today, and we're going to be believing, asking God, we're going to be asking God and believing that he's going to help us with this ability to stay calm and relaxed under pressure, cool as a cucumber under pressure. You can take the steps of giving yourself extended time, building some more space and margin in your schedule, and then take the first step. Whenever that pressure comes, learn to roll it onto him. Give that grace to yourself, saying, I can't do this on my own. I need your help, God. I'm going to roll this onto you. And you just stay calm and allow him to flow through you. You keep that peace and that joy we were talking about, even when the pressure comes. But every time we take communion, it's just this opportunity for us to receive specific promises from God, but also to just meditate on his steadfast, unfailing love for us and his mighty works. In the book of Psalms, it tells us that when we meditate on his unfailing love and his mighty works, it gives us hearts that understand. We understand his grace and how much he wants to do in our lives, that he was willing to send his one and only son to die for us. And if he would do that, how would he not freely give us all things and richly give us all things to enjoy, including helping us when these times of pressure come, helping us to stay calm and to stay poised under pressure? He's probably not going to remove the pressures, but he's going to do a work in you to help you to stay calm and under control when the pressure comes. Because a little bit of pressure is actually good for you. Helps us to grow and mature and brings out the best in us, and we learn to handle it correctly. Teaches us to slow down, to simplify, to make some adjustments and corrections in our life, if we'll just handle it in the correct way. So, Father, we just thank you for this bread and what it represents. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it. Receive it. Receive that he makes you right with God and holy and perfect, and we can approach him with freedom and confidence. We can sit or even stand in his presence because of what Jesus did. He's right there with us to help us in everything that we do, helping us to stay calm under pressure. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." This new covenant, we've been released from the darkness, transferred into the light because of the forgiveness of sins. And now we have this covenant relationship with God. We can do life together with him. We can grow in our knowledge of him. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they would know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." We can have this covenant relationship with God. We can grow in our relationship and our knowledge of him today. And Jesus said that's eternal life, and we can continue to grow in that relationship with him for eternity. That's truly an amazing gift. Father, we just thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. You have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's simply about walking it out. I've got two things I want you to do. Actually, three. Number one, keep your eyes fixed on God. He's going to help you to stay calm, but then you got to take the first step. So here's what I want you to do. Anytime you feel like you have more to get done in a day than you can do, I want you to start your day by giving what I call a memorial portion. Take 2 minutes, 5 minutes, a couple minutes, and use your time to do something good for somebody else. the first thing you do in a day, when it looks like you have more to do than you can get done. One of the first priorities should be is actually do something that wasn't on your schedule and do something good for somebody else. And that's what I call a memorial portion. It becomes a point of trust where you say, you know what, God, I'm going to do something good for somebody else, even though it looks like I don't have enough today. As a point of trust, as a remembrance that you are more than enough. And you can help me get it all done today. Help me be on time. Help me to stay calm under pressure all day long and get it all done with plenty of extra time to spare. So let's keep our eyes fixed on him. Roll that pressure onto him. Give a memorial portion. And then as you go about your day, when that pressure starts to come on you, start praising and thanking him that he's more than enough. Keep your eyes fixed on him. You're going to see that he has this ability to help you to stay calm and poised under pressure. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.